Welcome, welcome all. Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, February 2007, Saturday night. We'll have Steve Barish on in a little bit, but right now, we don't have Steve Barish. And I've got a couple things that I want to cover in my topics tonight. Those of you that got the camera on, notice that I'm wearing the pyramid, which is cool. One of the big topics this week, one of the great big topics this week, global warming. Now, what is global warming? Well, it's a lot. Global warming, I started talking about that in 84 on my KFOX show. I was talking about global warming back in the early 70s when I was even doing a New Age presentation. And what happens is in the evolution of a solar system, when the star spits out the core energy to make the planet, which is fragmentation, and then these fragmentations will blow away out of the system or they'll come into the gravity of the star and they'll be pulled back, and over another billion years they'll set up orbit. Some of them will be set up to a point where they can create life. And what determines what planets or what pieces of rock or rubble that came from this star that belched a lot of its internals out is electricity. You know, and the, you know, can electricity actually strike this piece of rock from the star, from the sun, and start DNA, start basically the four basic amino acids that form DNA. And if it doesn't, these are, by the way, these are adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. And so if that strike doesn't take place, then you have a solar system with no life. But if it does, those amino acids can absorb out of the life, out of the universe, the photonic energy of the sun. And they could also, absorb the darkness of the night, and they'll synthesize that into H2O, water. And when you put water and electricity together, and you strike it again with those four amino acids, you have the beginning of cells. Now, from that, from those cells, you have to have a structure. A structure is very necessary. The structure of DNA begins, you know, beyond the solar system that was just created. I mean, the actual planet that can host life. It was created when the last star blew up. When the last star blew up, it did it one of two ways. One way is that it got so hot, you know, actually cooled down as gravity got so intense. But when a star is, like our star, is a G4 star, it's actually a young guy, you know, young girl, what do you want to call it. If you get an old star, you know, that's billions beyond ours, it starts to cool down. And you have to realize when it starts to cool down, it sets up what's called, an event horizon. An event horizon means that, this is where Einstein became famous with relativity, during the 1928 transition of the alignment of Jupiter in this world, which proved, you know, that his theory of relativity works. But when that happens, a star presenting the event horizon starts to influence light passing by it. It doesn't just go whooshing by, but it actually curves a little bit. First, it'll start dipping in towards the star, and then it'll resume its exact course. And this is where Fourier transformations come in the difference between how light dips at one point in time measured and how light dips in another point. These are called Fourier transforms in physics and calculus. And this is where Einstein got the crux. This goes back way before his time, but this is where he got the crux to start measuring these Fourier transforms into a period, to extremes in the orbit of a planet and how they were measured. And, of course, he had to have, like, different laboratories and, you know, actually astronomy, you know, observation points, tracking this thing. And so when the eclipse of Jupiter occurred in 1928, he became famous because it said, yeah, light does have a speed because we just measured it. That's how it all starts. then from beyond that, the whole circuit of the universe works in a certain kind of like a puzzle. And finally, the right pieces go into place, and then life can start to begin. That's what happened on Terra Firma a long time ago, this Earth. And this Earth has been, gone through a lot of stages of evolution. There are times when they considered, what destroyed all the dinosaurs? What happened 50,000 years ago that killed life? Was it a meteor that came down and threw dust up, and therefore the sunlight was, inhibited? Or was it some kind of a turmoil from within the core of the Earth that caused that? Well, to answer that, I've done this on earlier shows, but the first thing that people need to understand is that there's a certain amount of coronal discharge on the sun. That coronal discharge comes out as a gas. Imagine something like a gas coming out of a hydrogen atmosphere, to a million degrees coming out and coming back. That creates like a heat wave, even though there's no air in space, and it's called cosmic wind. It just shoves itself, or solar energy, solar flare, and it comes to the Earth. Well, around the Earth, we have the Earth has a magnetic core. It spins very fast, the molten core of the Earth. It creates kind of like a dynamo effect on the Earth, which creates a very dense field around the Earth, which you can measure with a compass when you hold it, because it will point to the north, which is the polarity of the field. And when that field starts to go, and here comes this really fast, high-energy stuff from the solar coronal discharge from the sun, that could be devastating for the Earth. So the Earth sets up an outer field that's called the Van Allen Radiation Belt. The Van Allen Radiation Belt then breaks this mass of this energy down into a higher frequency, and it comes down to the Earth as what's called a coronal electrojet, and that's when you have the northern light. That usually enters from the northern hemisphere of this world down across the entire planet. It's like a white light coming down at the top of the Earth and then going across the surface of the Earth. When it hits the equator, depending on what kind of energy it is, it sets up a field of energy that resonates with the tectonic plates of the Earth. If the resonance field of the people living on the Earth and the frequency coming from the electrojet explosions from the sun are not correct, then what happens is you have what we call earthquakes. This is where earthquakes come from. As it goes past the center of the Earth, and over the outside through the middle, but mostly over the outside, as it goes past through the center of the Earth, it hits the solar, the Antarctic, and goes out back into space. And that's why we have such a big hole in the ion, ionization fields of the Earth. So therefore, the Earth's ionic fields are a little bit low. And so these are the kinds of things that that we're dealing with now in the new age. Now, let's get down to more brass tacks. I wanted to finish one thing on the statement of the field of a planet, a sun dying. We talked about an Earth being a G4 star. If a star dies too fast, it will explode and send a lot of stuff out into space, creating what's called a black hole. That means that everything that comes near where it was on the event horizon will be sucked into it. When energy is sucked into the black hole, as I'm describing it, it comes down through the 4, 5, 6 different planes that it has to go through in 8 parallel universes, and it comes into the cell of the human body. Now, when it gets to the cell of the human body or anything living here, what happens then, the cell of the human body would be a projection, an etheric projection, meaning, let me describe an etheric projection. If you were to take a leaf and chop off, like say a maple leaf, which is 5, extensions, chop off one of those, you would have the same 5, but one of them would be physically missing. But if you put it on a Kirlian photography camera, invented by S.D. Kirlian from Russia back in the last century, you would see on a Kirlian camera, like that missing leaf, still there. Hey, my God, it's still there. Okay, that's called the phantom leaf effect. The phantom leaf effect is not that mysterious. It means that the etheric body of man or of anything is present even when the physical part is whacked off, as long as two-thirds of the remaining structure is totally functioning. That's why, for example, the liver, alcoholics, if people that do drugs, you can really do a lot of drugs and alcohol as an alcoholic and still stay alive if you don't destroy more than 90% of your liver. Go beyond that last 10%, you're going to go down with psoriasis or, you're going to be one that's not going to come back as the average. So what happens is with the phantom leaf effect, it's the same thing, same potency. So what happens is when you see that, it shows you the energy is there. But now the leaf is already off the tree. If the leaf were back on the tree, having a piece of it whacked off, then bottom line is that the leaf could grow back that missing structure. It's no problem. It's like a lizard. You do that with a lizard, whack the tail, lizard grows back. But human beings, you lose an arm in combat like our troops do over in, Iraq. Well, they don't know. They've been told you've lost that limb. It ain't coming back. But the bottom line is it can come back, all of it, when people begin to understand how the etheric level works. Now, taking that back, let's look at what that is. How does that function to the body? What are you talking about here? It's like, relate that to a cell. Relate it to me. You just told me this hellacious etheric body. Well, how do you relate that to cell? Very simple. When you relate it to a cell, you have the etheric thing we just talked about. That comes first. We call that the science of electrical precursation energy. And what happens is there's a series of like wires structured up. It's like, like if you were making a mold of something, you might use say you're doing paper mache and you're doing a mold of something. Then you make this wire thing and then you put the paper and the flour and water mixed together in mache over it. Okay. That's how DNA works. Whoa, that's how DNA works. The frequencies that we're talking about coming into the human energy from inside a black hole, which I forgot to say, comes in from the inside out and it hits the etheric structure of the body. Okay? It hits the etheric structure and starts to form phosphates and sugars. These phosphates and sugars start to get heavy on these etheric wires. Suddenly, they have form. They didn't have form a minute ago, but now these phosphates are forming. They're called adenine, thiamine, cytosine, and guanine. They're just there. All this adenine, this cytosine, and guanine, and they start to twist the vibration. It's like, energy always moves in a circular vibration. And they start to twist. And guess what? They form chromosomes, 46 of them. And then these chromosomes start working back and forth, and immediately this wire, this etheric wire, is what they're moving on. And each chromosome has 1,250 things that it produces, and they're called genes. Within that structure of these moving chromosomes, just now are now phosphates and sugars that still keep moving on the same wire that formed them, but suddenly they got this beautiful form, and there's this form below that. We have genes. 1,250. And below that, within that structure, we have 100,000 microgenes. In the total body, we have 7.5 trillion cells. So that's how it all starts to work. And it is so cool. It is so easy to work with. The DNA then forms a 39-inch long section. Okay? And that works at about 360 to 412 megahertz in our standard calculus physics stuff. And so back years ago, when I started developing things at Paradigm, we took all this into consideration. It was truly a lot of fun. Out of that, we have 6 billion steps of DNA, and those 6 billion steps form 12 billion bases. And as you look at what happens is when this thing reproduces, when you're looking at a cell with all its DNA and it decides to reproduce, it all disappears for a second. Everything goes away. And in the period of it disappearing, it's called mitosis. And when you have cellular mitosis, nothing is there. And then suddenly the 46 base, the chromosomes are there with the genes and the and the steps and everything below it. So then vibration comes in and it spaces the gene. Okay? The chromosomes. Maybe say the first six chromosomes have a 1-inch space, boiling it up to a hypothetical. And then the next two or three chromosomes need a 2-foot space and blah, blah, blah. There's a code there. Okay? If that code is right, then that mitosis step in the entire human body is a liver cell. And then a second later, the etheric energy comes in, the sugar phosphates form on this wire that's kind of like floating etherically. The chromosomes sense that they immediately space themselves on the wire that they're on, and then they get a hit of energy from the internal side, and the internal hit of energy just blows out a bunch of, like, more spirals out to their right or left. And now we've formed, let's say, a heart cell. And then they stop, and then the chromosomes, you know, they feel the static pressure coming in, and they move and they space themselves because they're electrostatically pushed away from each other by the frequency of the incoming energy from the life force, and then boom, they form something else, and now maybe you got a toenail cell. But what happens is, unfortunately, that this knowledge that I'm explaining to you was brought here by the Greys, not to me, but to the government. And so they have done intonations on ELF with Clementine-like satellites out in space. And I knew this, you know, before the first Clementine was launched. I actually knew about this stuff. And if you think I'm kidding, go look up my name on DBS Radio and look at my Lockheed Skunk Works credentials and the places I've worked that I've been allowed. Somebody can't even put up there. Check me out. But anyway, getting all the ego out of the way, this has been going on for a while. So when I started to develop Paradigm, we had to do special equipment to stop the ELF. I was showing a lady came up last night, a new client, and I showed her a tomato in my refrigerator because I'm a tomato freak. Phytochemicals are for me, you know, they're absolutely the best. And so I showed her a tomato. It was 5 weeks old in the refrigerator, and it's like not even aged at all. You know how the tomatoes get a little slimy and wet before? This thing is pristine. I bought some 2 weeks ago, and they look like when I picked them off the shelf because I've got what we call a Devastar hooked up to the refrigerator. So I love people coming over to the house here, with locals here in town, and showing this stuff. It is so cool. I love to do that. But that's how this technology works. So you have to apply this, you know, I feel anyway, is that I feel that you need to apply this to your daily lives, and that's why I thought that when I started Paradigm, that it would be a really good thing to get this information out. Now, this is about 31 years ago. Now, when we first started all this, a long time ago and put these things out there, these products out there. It was a little slow going at first, but actually it kind of started taking off. Now we have like stockbrokers and politicians and people that from the mainstream, before we had New Age people, and then all of a sudden the mainstream people showed up. And it's really cool. And tonight when we get into our show a little bit later, you're going to be talking to Steve Barish, and we have a client, I can't mention her name, she was in an automobile accident. She's paralyzed just like Christopher Reeve was, and we have started a program with her, and she's in a wheelchair, on a respirator. And we have chosen this woman to be possible candidate to the rest of the world, but she doesn't have to end up in the wheelchair for the rest of her life. And we've already got some stuff going on. And this is just one case. And what we're going to be doing in the future, I'm going to be doing my political shows. We've got David Icke coming on, David Tickles coming on. We've got a lot of great guests coming up. But there's going to be a side of the show that's really serious now. And we're going to start taking on very hardcore cases of people that have been in various situations that have disoriented them, whether physically or mentally, you know, autism versus, a broken bone or, you know, being paralyzed. And we're going to show you step by step. We're going to help, you know, with your help and our help, we're going to bring these people back. We're going to do it here at BBS Radio. It's one of the things I decided to do because to me, although everybody loves my political side and all the connections I have, and there's plenty of them and it's getting better by the minute, the healing side of life is where I'm coming from, and I think that's the best side to be on. I mean, all this political stuff doesn't mean anything if you don't have the healing thing. So I'm going to be concentrating a lot on the healing thing. So if you don't like it, go somewhere else. But if you like it, call in, send me emails and stuff. So that's kind of where we're starting out now. Now, if you guys want to go up to BBS Fast Chat, where I'm at now, I don't see anything coming in, so obviously there's no questions. You'll have a few questions coming in. You know, then I'll answer them, or you can call in at the phone numbers at 877-876-5227, because I need to start getting some feedback. Oh, here we go. Here's a question just came in. Does Dr. Bell have a comment on coffee from Marjorie? Yes, I do. Coffee is, you know, the key ingredient in coffee is called xanthan. It's caffeine. It's in cocaine. And what xanthan is like an amino acid combination that will stimulate huge amounts of adrenaline from the adrenal glands and norepinephrine, and it will also stimulate a couple of hormones from the pituitary. And when you use it that way, you know, I like it. I do one small cup of coffee in the morning. That's all I need to get all that going. And that's cheating, okay? It's actually cheating, but I do it. Because a second cup of coffee will, in my case, overstimulate my adrenals, and I won't feel good, and I'll feel uncomfortable, and it pushes me over the top. Just too much norepinephrine in the brain system. The central nervous system runs wild, and the thinking process stops, and the physical process starts. So you have a lot of energy for your body, none for your mind. So I learned that with coffee. You also should balance. Whenever I use coffee, I put some substance in the coffee that will balance the pH, because coffee is acidic. Coffee is very hard on women. It's one of its strongest ingredients. It's called tannic acid. On women, it produces spider lines around the eyes and around above the lips. That's from the tannin in the coffee. It usually shows up on women if they drink a lot in their early 40s. Okay, so that's what I got to say about coffee. Any other questions on the internet here? Or anybody wants to call in, because we're going to bring Steve Barish on in 7 minutes, and then it'll be a different show. Okay, so nothing. So all these things have an effect. You know, the other thing is that situation with wine. You know, first of all, most, you know, any time wine has any kind of a preservative in it, it's not very good. White wines have a tendency to have a higher level of preservative than other, you know, the dark wines. The reserpine, which is in the wine, actually acts as a coagulant in the in the arterial system, so that it breaks down cholesterol that's not good. And you've got two types of cholesterol. You've got HDL and LDL, okay? The LDL is the one you don't want. So the bottom line is the reserpine and all these different things in red wine does help break that down. But the ideal thing is to enjoy red wine, have a good diet, be a vegetarian, drink any color of wine you want, you'll feel great. And so that's how that goes. And I'm looking down here to see any other questions. Okay, my cousin has a seizure and went into a coma. Now she's brain dead, and will your machine... I didn't get all that. Went in a coma and now she's brain dead. Okay, it sounds like that there's a cousin out here. I'm going to send that some more, because we work with people with seizures, and the best thing that we've had the best luck with seizures now are the projectors. The projectors will go into the astral body. You need an astral body tool, but that's where that person is. I mean, you're walking into the hospital or wherever they're having this coma, and you're talking to them, and that's beautiful, and they're sensing it, but they're not looking out of their eyes and ears. They're probably hovering behind you or something. This is how that works. And they're also going through an exercise whereby spiritually they're starting from, like, behind them. Out of shadows are coming relatives, ancestors, friends that have predecessed them into the transition into beyond the body, and they haven't reincarnated. So they're back there. And so they're looking back there at that, and they're looking down there at you, and they're making a value judgment. So the big thing in a coma for most people is value judgment. So when you go up to them and you talk to them and you encourage them, they're also getting encouragement from the other side. So then they have to make their own decision which way they're going to go. So it is a battle. It truly is. But maybe not, you know, because think about you or me, you know, if I go there, I'm going to have that. I mean, the people down here on Earth, some of them like me, some of them don't. And I got a hell of a lot of cool relatives, like Jesse James, baby. I want to go rob some banks on the astral plane. There we go. But anyway, I got these people way back there pulling on me, too. So, you know, I want to come back and do some more work here. I love it here. I've seen other worlds. I've been to the Pleiades. You know, I've seen all this stuff. But I want to come back here. You know, I love it here. I don't know why. I'm just an old fool for traditional values on Earth. So I'll always be coming back. But yeah, if they want me to take a break, then I'm going to take a break. If they want to take a break, then I'm going to do that. That's all. Anyway. Okay, we got Steve on the line. We got Steve. Steve, are you there yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm right here, Dr. Bell. Oh.
Is that Steve?
Yes, I'm calling from Ohio, Cleveland, yeah. Ohio.
Huh? Go ahead. Yeah. What's your question?
Okay, my question is, I'm a vegetarian. I've been one for 2 years, and I've supplemented my diet by eating a lot of soy products.
Yeah.
And I'm not feeling too good lately, and I've been reading some stuff about soy being very bad for you. So I was wondering.
Oh, isn't that good? That's true. I wouldn't go very much with soy products. Go ahead. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Don't go with a bunch of soy. First of all, if you don't need any kind of protein substitute, what's your weight and what's your height?
I'm about 5'7½" and about 160 pounds.
Okay, so you're just a tiny bit overweight.
Yeah,
unless you're muscular.
So
if you're a bodybuilder, you're probably underweight. You're right on the threshold of weight balance, right?
Yeah, I'd say about 150 to 160 pounds is what I've fluctuated at over the years.
Okay, fine. So what you're really looking at is a metabolism transition. Do you follow what I'm saying? A transition. And, you know, I eat a hell of a lot of steaks. I used to, you know, I was the greatest filet mignon guy in the world for a long time. But then I went vegetarian for 7 or 8 years, did the Tibetan ceremony, and then came back, got into meat again, and then I finally left it. I'll never go back to it. How old are you?
I'm 31.
Okay. At 31, you may have to go through some cycles of vegetarianism versus meat. Don't be afraid of it. Make a shot at it. Because if you're not feeling good, you're lacking amino acids. Okay? I would go down and get some free full amino acids, like 10 or 12 amino acids at the health food store.
So yeah, I thought about picking up your full spectrum formula, too. I had considered picking up your full spectrum.
No, the full spectrum is fine, but you need the free amino acids. You need those because your body, you've been eating meat, right, before you stopped?
Yeah, I used to eat a lot of it.
Yeah, okay, a lot. It's fine. Are you a bodybuilder?
I used to work out quite frequently. Now I hardly do anymore. I just
okay, because you're not motivated anymore.
Right. My energy levels are very low.
Okay, that's fine. I understand where you're at. So what you need to do is get the free form amino acids at the health food store. Stay vegetarian and then start, and be careful. If you're gonna eat some meat, eat organic steak, organic chicken, because you got to avoid steroids. You know what I mean? You can't go to a fast food place.
I don't want the hormones and steroids they put in the meat.
Yeah, got to avoid that.
And yeah. How about protein supplements?
Huh?
How about protein supplements?
Well, as soon as you get completely off of meat, right, then you won't need it anymore. And then you won't need protein supplements. You can get it off avocado and all kinds of other stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't had a single bite of meat in 2 years.
Well, then if you haven't had it in 2 years, just forget it then. Just don't even go near it. That's really good. So you're already off.
I don't even want to go near it.
That's really good. So just stay off of it. I like avocados and different things, but you know, at some point you might want to try the Silver Power Dome that we have. That will actually cause your metabolistic, you know, functions to work a lot better.
Well, I do have a nuclear receptor, the Silver Tone, and I thought of upgrading to the Sterling Silver, but I'm still getting effects from the Silver Tone receptor yet. So
yeah, well, you'll know when the time is to change. Yeah. Are you taking that pyrrolobe formula that we have, trace minerals?
No, that was one of the next things I wanted to buy from you was the trace minerals in the full spectrum.
Yeah, that'll work really good.
I've taken things from other major health food stores, and I honestly don't like the effects of them. I don't understand what half the ingredients are in there. And,
yeah.
It seems like you got to formulate the stuff so they all work together.
Yeah, it's called synergistic formulation.
Yeah.
I started that about 30 years ago. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're having fun. Everything's working then. I'm glad you're 2 years off meat. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was a tough challenge, but
yeah, and you can take a little bit more niacin if you feel any depression. That'll help you too.
All right.
And then if you want extreme counseling on everything, just call the office and talk to Mikkel, and she'll put you in the right. You know, she's been never on meat, so she'll give you her whole life of experience, and her mom's like a doctor who's never been on meat. Their whole family is vegetarian. They're most amazing people. So
that might be some good advice because it's hard.
Yeah,
they tell
me what to do. I mean, I've been off and on as a vegetarian, so I don't have all the answers.
Yeah, my alternative was to buy the fake meat. I couldn't just get prepare meals for myself. I had to just go one step further than what I was used to, which turned out not to be so good after all.
Yeah, but when you get up on that etheric frequency that I was describing in the early part of the show, and you're wearing one of those receptors which you already have, and that thing kicks in, then you don't need me anymore or anybody else. You got your own answers. That's the beauty of it, you know. It finally kicks in, and you're on your way.
Can I ask you one more question about the receptor?
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to upgrade to the sterling silver receptor, and I seem to be going through different gemstones when I muscle test for them.
Let's say you're about 10 pounds overweight, which isn't much, right?
Right.
What month were you born in?
May.
May. So you're a Taurus.
Gemini.
Gemini. Oh, you're a Gemini. Okay. Yeah. So you're a little bit. You have a flexible metabolism. That's good to know. We don't do astrology for the stone, but I get to know the metabolism. Yeah. And you've been 2 years a vegetarian. And are you going to hold on to that, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. You can feel the difference. I mean, everything works better.
Oh, I do notice a difference. Even though my energy levels are lower, I got a clearer head. It feels cleaner.
Yeah. No, I understand. I'm the same way. Yeah. So with all of that going on, I think that, and you have you had any health problems in the last 10 years?
No, actually, since I've been a vegetarian, I haven't even been sick.
Yeah, there you go. I know. Do you do any cayenne pepper?
No, I don't believe there's any in the vitamins I were taking.
No, I mean like with your food, like sprinkle it on or whatever.
No.
Yeah, cayenne pepper works really good. It might kick you up another level. You can get it in Vietnamese or Asian health stores, health food stores. It's a red thing. It's a cayenne pepper thing. You just spray on your food and stuff. I use it in my soup a lot. Kind of spiffs it up. You take a normally vegetarian soup from a Chinese restaurant and you put some of this stuff in it. It puts an afterburner on it. And you'll find that it speeds up the liver cleansing process. That'll bring your 10% of your weight down. I wouldn't even address that anymore. It's something I wouldn't look at.
Yeah, and, I just need to get a little more creative with my meal preparation.
It's not a big deal about meal separation. It's like getting where you don't even crave food at all. You know what I mean? That's just where you kind of get on the road of your new destination, because obviously you're switching courses.
I have. Everything in my life over the last 2 years has been a major change.
Yeah.
So it's not just vegetarianism and getting into your products, and I've also done some ceremonial magic and changed.
Well, you're
my
working a lot on the seventh ray, violet. That's what you're describing. Everything you just said was violet. Count Saint Germain. If I were, do you feel you're going to stay on the magic path, or you want to get off it?
Well, I'm on a path, but I'm done with exploring it. I have specific rituals that I like, and that's what I stick to. Just the just ones for getting in touch with your higher self, balancing the body, the chakra system, and removing blockages and stuff. Which is why the nuclear receptor seems to fall into place.
Yeah. What stone do you have now? What stone?
I have the sapphire now, and I keep muscle testing between either the emerald, the ruby, or the amethyst.
I was waiting for you to say that. What you need to do is go to the amethyst, but not for very long in the silver receptor, because, you know, your DNA is reproducing your cells in your body, you know, 50 million per second when you wear one of those things. So in about 3 or 4 months, your blood system is going to completely be shifted up to the amethyst, which is already, it will have seeded your cells and the rest of your body. It'll take 7 years to do the bones. So that won't happen yet. But the bottom line is, you know, 3 months of the amethyst, and I think you can go up to a yellowstone, because you go up in your stomach in the solar plexus, compassion.
Yeah.
You go to a yellowstone. Yeah, your buddhic energies, and that'll push your kundalini up, and then you'll end up with a diamond. So you're going to me, I would go with amethyst, you know, a yellow sapphire, and eventually a white diamond over the period of the next, say, 3 or 4 years. And you'll, because that, I mean, that's just going to help your body. You're already doing it anyway. I'm just giving you a push. You know, you're going to do it with or without a receptor. You're on your way.
But yeah, and I'm really excited about your projector technology, too. That seems to fall right into place with the rituals that I'm already doing, and just using your own willpower and stuff. But it could be dangerous, too. That's why I want to get my
amethyst, what the amethyst does is it balances the cerebral spinal fluids, in your case, because you're a vegetarian, at the base of the spine. And so when these fluids start to move up your spine, spinal cord, it creates an electrical change in the resistance between the brain and the base of the spine. There's 72,000 major wires going up and down. And when you start putting cerebral spinal fluid on them, they change from lead wires to gold wires to like platinum wires. So you get a huge amount of electricity burst to the bottom of your spine. And if you're not set up for that, it really can damage. You can have a heart attack, and people get hurt on kundalini because the kundalini is going to rise. That's why you want to go to the next step up, which is yellow solar plexus, because then you can feel the energy, control the energy, and then you can direct it anywhere in the universe you want. That's why I always, you know, go from the amethyst to the, you know, to a yellow sapphire, and then up to the diamond, which is the crown chakra. But it's just it's what's really neat about it is you get to do this sequentially, and you get to experience it sequentially, and it's a reality to you. It's not like something you just was told to do. You feel it. If you don't feel it, you'll get rid of the receptor. You won't listen to a thing that I've suggested. You have your own idea. Maybe nothing to do with me. Well, people don't seem to go away, you know. They seem to hang around and ask me more questions. And that's
well,
what's
I do,
cool about
I do
that.
Notice when you take it off is when I feel the difference the most.
Yeah, me too, every day. Yeah. When I take it off, then you're down. You're coming down, baby. I know what you're saying. Yeah, because you know the whole environment hits you. And, you know, that's exactly that. You're on it. Yeah.
And then when you put the silver receptor on, this is the next step for me. Is it really that big of a difference?
Oh yeah, it's a big difference because you're dealing with a tetrahedral structure in silver, and now it's gonna you're gonna have to wash it off every day because it picks up radiation, but it's gonna be like a supercharger. That's why I say go back to the amethyst. If you are already wearing a silver one for a while, I'd say maybe you could jump up to the yellow sapphire, but no, go to the amethyst and start over. But it'll be a quick start because your body's already ready. And you just change the stones out. You don't have to change the receptor, just change the stone. Send it in, we'll put new ones in, or have your jeweler doing it, you know.
Do you sell the stones or you get those from
No, we sell them. We make them, you know. You can get it from your local jeweler. And you want to send it back, we refurbish it, shine it up, and send it back to you with a new stone. We do it all the time. We do it every day. Yeah,
that sounds good. Gave me a new direction here to experiment with. So I thank you for that, and I'm excited about getting into the projector technology too in the future. That looks like it's really going to be the big one over everything.
Oh, that's a whole other world. That's when big stuff happens in your life. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you're getting the confidence up from the receptor to make the big step. And I consider people going into the projector technology the big step because they get big results. Nobody sent one back yet. And we've sold several thousand of the big ones, and not one's come back, you know. So
well,
I don't like
be doing something.
Huh?
I can imagine just how it would work in a ceremonial magic type of setting, too. With, you know, once you get control of your thoughts and focus your will in a specific intent, then you could probably... you know, really maximize its power or its potential.
Well, the thing with the projector is you don't have to do any of that, believe it or not. All you got to do is look at it and, like, you're talking to somebody and tell it something. and that's how it works. I mean, but you got to realize that you when you see it happen, it will shock a lot of people. You know, it's very sudden and very quick.
That's why I think it's also potentially dangerous if you don't have a good control of your.
Won't hurt others, but it might. It'll take you for. Let's say you might save a few lifetimes of ignorance if you screw around with it the wrong way.
My mind wanders a lot during the day, and I'll find myself thinking of things, and then immediately wish I try and take it back before it happens, and until I get that kind of control, I think I'll hold off on the projector.
Yeah, just
I'll be wishing all kinds of things to happen that I don't want to happen.
Yeah, it takes time, and then when you think that you're karmically clear for it, then you'll get one. You know, and maybe you'll get something else. Maybe by the time that's happening, and something else will come along. But right now, this is, it's all on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, you're doing real good. You're doing great for everybody on this planet. You're doing a lot of good things here.
And I appreciate your input. You know, I'm just a servant on the path.
All right. Well, thanks, Dr. Bell.
Okay. You have a great evening.
Show.
Bye.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
No, Steve Barish there yet. Hello. Trying to see while we're on the air. Steve Barish was supposed to be on here. And I'm waiting for him to chime in. But until I hear his little voice, I will go into the next phase of this. And that is global warming. Global warming. Steve, you there? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Is Steve there? Or is this a caller?
This is a caller.
Oh, hi, caller. Because I don't know whether I'm getting a caller or Steve Barish, who is going to come on later. So what's your name?
Pam.
Pam, where are you calling from?
From Texas.
Okay, what part of Texas?
Lubbock.
Lubbock?
Yeah.
Lubbock Lights.
Yep.
Wow.
Buddy Holly.
Yeah, right. Buddy Holly, that's right. I used to go over to Las Vegas, and a friend of mine was putting on the reproduction show, and the Buddy Holly.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is really good.
It was over at the Imperial Palace, and the kid was from Huntington Beach. He did a good Buddy Holly.
I know. I thought so, too.
Huh?
I thought so, too.
Yeah, you were there.
I saw that show.
Oh, okay, good. That's hot. So what kind of question do you have?
Well, I just got I'm just starting with you. I heard you on Art Bell.
Okay.
So I just got a power dome.
Silver or gold?
The one that costs the most.
The silver and the gold ones both cost the same. They're about $250.
I wonder which one I have.
Well, is it silver on the outside or gold?
Well, you know what? I'm blind. I don't know.
Well, that's okay.
Gold. I need to find out, though, because I didn't know there was two different colors.
Well, explain to me a question. Maybe I can sort it out.
Well, I don't know if you can, since I don't know what color it is.
It doesn't matter. Just tell me what you forget.
I wanted
what
to
I
know
said.
Because people are asking me, what does this thing do?
Yeah.
And I can tell some things that it's doing, but I want to be more. I don't want to. I'd rather give them a more educated answer than. The one I might be able to come up with. So.
Well, what it, first thing it does is that it sets up a vibration in your brain.
Okay.
And what happens is that one of the big things of the decomposition of the human brain is the junk that we breathe in our air. All
right.
That junk comes into our lungs and then goes into the bloodstream. It goes through the carotid artery up to the base of the brain, which is called the cerebellum. And is distributed through the brain in what's called the circle of Willis. The arterial, all the stuff, all these big mega microns of dirt comes in your lungs, goes into a quarter inch artery up to the base of your brain. It just comes right to your brain. There's no obstacles. When it gets to your brain, it gets to the circle of Willis. The brain arterial size is like a millionth of an inch. There's like a little spider web. It goes from this big flow of energy, blood into this little spider web. Well, you know that if you got a lot of toxins in the blood, they're going to get stuck in the cracks, and that spider web over a period of time is going to be blocked, from performing its what it's supposed to do. And this takes about, you know, what we call a lifespan. So what happens is the pyramid, when you wear it on your head, starts breaking down all of these little particles that came into your lungs by a hydrogen ion effect that it produces in the brain. I don't want to go into the chemistry, but there's an actual proven chemistry of what it does. That can be proven by the fact that a pyramid over an acid solution will turn it alkaline, and your brain is basically acid with this stuff, and it goes alkaline. Then it breaks it down. The first area that most people notice when they wear a power dome that it breaks down is balance. And this, you might try these exercises. Have you always been blind or just recently? How long have you been blind? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, how long have you been blind?
I've been blind for about half hour, I guess.
Oh, Steve, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, I was answering a question to a... I'm sorry. I was answering a question to a client. So let me finish that, and then I'll bring you up, okay?
Sure.
Give me a second. So anyway, I don't know what happened to my question, lady, but what happens is... When this process takes place, you'll find your physical balance will come back. And then what happens is the next thing you're going to find is that it's going to get up into the control center, what's called midbrain.
Okay.
Keep wearing the pyramid. It's going to detox up to that point, and you're going to find that your allergies that you get with the aging process go away. Allergies go away, and you get a lot clearer feeling in your body.
No, I can hear. It's just...
Hello? And so then finally at the end, you know, when it takes about a year, then your parietal and occipital lobes of the brain are clear, and you eliminate things like, you know, any kind of Parkinson's disease, any kind of Alzheimer's disease, they're gone, and you have a total clarity, and usually your diet will change, you'll move down towards like being a breatharian, vegetarian, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, with that said, we got to introduce Steve Barish, who's on the line. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am, Fred. How you doing, buddy?
Well, good. We've had a busy show tonight, as we always
yes.
do. And so I wanted to, not without mentioning any names, I wanted you to report in on our a project, this lady that we're working on up there, you know, near you. And if you want to, you know, what do you think?
Sure.
Talk about that a little bit and explain what
yes,
the problem
we have
is
a...
and what we're doing on it. Yeah.
Sure. We have somebody in New Hampshire that had a, I believe, an automobile accident. And she had problems with basically the atlas and axis, and she hasn't been able to move her arms, legs. And I believe she's on a breathing apparatus, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Yeah, and what I did was give her a call, and her husband, of course, answered the phone for her. And I started working on her immediately, and she was feeling the energy. I was actually about 4 feet above her body looking down. And we opened up the first chakra, the root chakra. And that caused everything to start to really work. The rest of the chakras opened up immediately. I went through the top of her head down her spine psychically and looked at... atlas and axis where it was bruised and damaged, and from that point I was healing that inside. You can actually see, or I could see, the atlas and axis healing. At that point I didn't know that she had problems with the medulla oblongata, but she did, and her body told me to go to medulla oblongata, and I started healing that. I went from there down into the spine. I looked at the spinal fluid. The spinal fluid was clear. But automatically what happens with me is that I can actually see in the spine, and black was coming out of the spinal area in different areas. And as the spine was clearing, the heat started to build up in her arms and her legs to the point where she said she was very, very hot.
She was very high?
And that was, pardon me?
She said, what, she was very high?
Very hot.
Oh, hot. Okay, I remember that because you guys saw me
hot.
After that session, yeah.
And the chakras in her hands opened up. The chakras in the bottom of her feet opened up. and she was feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
At that particular point, and everybody in the room had felt the energy. They were getting warm.
Right.
We finished at that point. The second time I called her, I went back into the spine again, which was a few days later, and the spine started to clear out more. We went into the sacral area that was being cleared out. There was a lot of black coming out just above the sacrum area.
Right.
Went into the coccyx area that was being cleared. We went back up the spine, and black was coming out of different parts of the spine. And all of a sudden, she was moving her toes, which she hadn't been doing in 3 years.
But she's actually having physical movement now.
Yeah, she was getting movement. She had movement in her right thumb at that particular point.
Yeah. That was paralyzed.
We were all saying prayers.
Yeah.
And she started receiving a lot more energy. The energy was coming in at a tremendous amount. People were getting high in the room. They were happy. She was smiling. So I think things are on the way with her on amend. We'll try to do the best we can. I'll keep on telling you about that. That was the second treatment that we did. I think I worked on her an hour each time, if I remember correctly.
Right, and she's going to be getting, as people out there know, we wouldn't normally put this on somebody. She's getting a diamond platinum receptor to wear.
Yes.
She hasn't even got, she's getting prepared for it by Steve. Because this thing is so intense. Like I say, major athletes use these things, NFL, martial arts. These kind of people use these things. This is not something you put on a woman that's 49 years old and been in a serious car wreck unless she's ready for it, and she won't be able to keep it. She'll use it until it's done, and then she'll probably get rid of it. I'll take it back and put it somewhere else or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that I was using a projector at home. I was focusing on the projector at the same time.
Were you using the projector to send remote healing to her or what?
Right. I was sending remote healing and through with the projector and with the energy that was coming down from heaven. And it was extremely, extremely intense. And the people in the room were actually getting warm. They were feeling very, very good. They could feel that. A lot of heat, again, was going down her legs, her lower back, hands were very hot. And I believe that... We're working on her as best we can.
I wonder how long it takes to get her off the respirator.
Well, that's the next step. I haven't tried that yet. I'm trying to get movement in her legs right now.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You're taking care of it. That's really good. It just
yes.
Yeah, no, that's
I
really
think
good.
I think that working with the medulla oblongata more.
Yeah.
We might be able to get her off the respirator. As a matter of fact, I think I can get her off the.
Yeah, because I remember the exercise before I introduced her to you, I did her how to do a Buddha breath, and she actually liked that. You know, people don't breathe properly anyway.
Yeah.
You push your stomach out to breathe in, and you let your stomach relax, and you breathe out. And you get into that, and you got to kind of practice it instead of squeezing your shoulders back and forth. Wrong way to breathe. And it's called a Buddha breath. All singers, opera, whatever, use that, mm-hmm. and it's very important. Mm-hmm. And you get a person like this, they're paralyzed, but if they can get their stomach to move a little bit, they can start the breathing process going, and the respirator can go away someday.
Yes, that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
And I gave her a very special breath. As she was breathing straight down, I said, please, darling, just take in the breath and say, I breathe in the breath of God, and just breathe it straight down your back, down your legs. And things were even getting warmer.
Yeah, isn't that great? Because you're taking into her the consciousness of what breath is, what the prana is, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I think the most powerful way that I've ever found was I breathe in the breath of God and just breathe it in the body, and the body actually, it just changes everything, Fred.
Yeah. And just for you people.
We don't look at that enough, and I think it's very important that we need to do things very, very directly.
Yeah. Well, I just want everybody to know out there listening that we always have Steve Barish on once a month, and Steve and I work on a lot of different people. We have clientele from every strata of life, from the poorest to the wealthiest to the most smartest to the dumbest. You know, everybody's there. We love them all. It's all part of us. And the ones that end up stumbling into our doorstep with whatever problem we have, including this lady who was hit in a car wreck and she's paralyzed from the neck down, we work with them. And now we've had such tremendous results that we want to share that with you, because I think that, you know, I do all the political stuff and all the stuff that I do. Bottom line is, you know, if we had a war, or we're in a war of attrition, which we are, it's very necessary to work with the best that know how to use the tools that have been offered to me. And tools, probably Steve, I'm sure, uses other tools besides the stuff that I make, and that work with specialists and masters that know what we're doing, regardless if it's a problem of an emotional problem or a physical problem or a spiritual problem. And all we can do is offer advice. So on this show, Steve has been helping a lot of people with a lot of ailments and had very good results, and we want to share that with you. So go ahead, Steve.
What I'm wearing right now, I'm wearing the my projector, which is 18-karat gold. It has the platinum bridge and four diamonds.
Yeah.
And I'm actually watching it firing. It's in my clothes, but I'm actually watching it firing as we speak.
Yeah.
These things are real, and the projectors that that Fred sells are absolutely wonderful. I've seen so many wonderful things in my room. I've actually had the Andromedans in my room working with me. It's just been really, really wonderful. They're extremely powerful. They do work. You have to have your head on straight with them. You have to be very direct. You have to know what you want.
Yeah, Steve, give them your phone number.
My phone number is area code 585-461-3319 at home. And that's the number that I can be reached at. I also have a number at work. It's area code 585-442-5410. I have a clinic, and I'm more than happy to help you. Getting back to things, I think that the nuclear receptor that I've been wearing, I just got it last year, I believe, and it's 18-karat gold with the diamonds and the platinum bridge, and it's extremely, extremely powerful. And the silver necklaces that you can start with would really, really help a tremendous amount of people.
Yeah, silver is a good starter.
Probably help the world.
Yeah, and I've got, believe it or not, the one I've been wearing for the last 10 years is for sale, because I'm going into a new design, and so people sometimes like the antiquities of me wearing it, maybe my breast or body odor or whatever. But anyhow, so Steve, it's good having you on tonight, man. We got to do the last segment of the show, which is Hot Rod to Hell, and I got a hell of a one for tonight. And thank you for coming on the show. Sorry we were a little late. We had so much excitement that we just couldn't cover all the calls.
That's great. That's great, Fred.
Okay, so that is Dr. Fred Hell, I like that, Health Science Energy Show. But tonight on Hot Rod to Hell, once again we have UPS. Back in Christmas, I bought Mikkel, my girlfriend, a very, very nice, very special diamond ring. It was a Florentine ring like I had seen in the Tower of London when I was escorted in there by the Royal Majesty's guards, because they like my receptor. I got to spend a half an hour with the Royal Jewels in the Tower of London, which most people go through in a line with a barricade on each side, and then they get in and they get out. I was actually where I could touch them, and I got to spend a half an hour with them because the guards like the receptor. And that's a true story. So looking at those, I had a jeweler design her a special ring that costs, you don't want to know how much it costs. But fortunately, we had it down here at the house, and she went to a dinner party, and one of the diamonds came loose. She didn't lose it. She almost did. There was four flat diamonds in it. And this is very special to her because I presented it to her on Christmas. So we UPS is our shipper, and so we send it UPS registered for, five figures. And guess what? It got to just from Orange County to L.A., it got to L.A., it was missing out of the box, a ring that costs more than a decade of thousands of dollars. Try two. So, it was luckily it was open. It went to a special shop where our products are made. It was videotaped as it was opened, as was a deal with high-end jewelry. And UPS people stole her ring. what? The UPS people? Take a hot rod to hell with your dishonesty, because it's so sad when you can't ship something 40 miles and not get there.